stay connected to the world around you, KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
Welcome back to Midday Edition. I'm Andrew Bowen, sitting in for Jade Hindman.
Brush up your Shakespeare. Start quoting him now. Brush up your Shakespeare, and the women you will wow. Just declaim a few lines from Othello, and they'll think you're a heck of a fella. If your blonde won't respond when you flatter her, tell her what pony told Cleopatra. And if still to be shocked she pretends well, just remind her that all's well that ends well. Brush up your Shakespeare, and they'll all kowtow.
That was a bit of Brush Up Your Shakespeare from the musical Kiss Me, Kate. Well, summer means Shakespeare in San Diego. The Old Globe just opened a production of The Comedy of Errors, inspired by a 90s soundtrack. And a new company called The Queen's Men is doing an all-female version of Julius Caesar. So that prompted our Midday Movies critics to create a list of some unconventional Shakespeare film adaptations. I'd once again like to welcome KPBS cinema junkie Beth Accomando and Movie Wallows podcaster Yazdi Pithavala. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So we've had literally centuries to come up with all sorts of adaptations, reimaginations of Shakespeare's plays. What do you think are the ingredients for excellence in this very niche genre? Beth, why don't you start?
So I think the key is you have to have a vision. You can't be making it just because you want to do a Shakespeare adaptation or you think it's going to be financially beneficial. You have to know why you're doing it. What are the themes that attract you? Is Shakespeare something you've loved all your life? Do you want to make it accessible to a new audience? Do you feel there's a new reason to tackle Hamlet this year? So I think that's the key to make it work. And then from there, anything is possible.
Yeah, see, what do you think?
I love it when I watch a movie and I really like it, and then I find out much later that that was a Shakespeare adaptation. Mm-hmm. So I love it when a movie is so seamlessly integrated to a different time and it still manages to kind of exemplify some of the themes from the original play, be it social commentary about class or gender or what have you.
I think most people know back in Shakespeare's times, all of these plays were performed exclusively by men. But as I mentioned in the intro, there is a new company doing all-female version of Julius Caesar. Beth, tell us more about The Queen's Men.
Sure. This is a brand new company performing at Trinity Theater. And there are a pair of 19-year-old women who are putting on a show. They have adapted Shakespeare's Julius Caesar to feature an all-female cast because they wanted to set it in contemporary times and in the world of women's soccer. So I'm going to have more about this next week, but it's kind of exciting, and I got to see a little bit of it, and it was quite intriguing.
And Yazdi, August 15th is Indian Independence Day, so good time to be thinking about Indian cinema. Give us a bit of background behind Indian Independence Day first.
Yes, so the Indian Independence Day, which happens on August 15th every year, it commemorates India's freedom from British rule in 1947. And it's important not to confuse it with another Indian holiday, which is the Indian Republic Day, which is also celebrated on January 26th every year, but that marks the adoption of the Indian Constitution for the first time, which happened in 1950.
So you have two Indian Shakespeare films to share with us today. The first is an adaptation of The Comedy of Errors. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so this is a movie from 1982, and it's a movie called Angoor or Grapes. And it is a pretty free adaptation of The Comedy of Errors, which, of course, is about two pairs of twins who get separated at birth and they come together and all kinds of chaos ensues. What I really like about this movie is that it takes its time to build the plot and then in the last half just descends into pure mayhem. And unlike kind of rather broad slapsticky humor, this movie kind of focuses on very wry dialogue, which is smart and clever. And, you know, it's not a very shouty movie. It's a very quiet movie, but the dialogue is so good and the actors are so stellar at what they're doing that you just burst into laughs all the time. And here's a clip from one of the musical numbers in the film.
And there are actually quite a few Indian adaptations of The Bard. Beth, tell us your favorite.
Sure. And since we're in a studio and not in a theater, I can freely say that Macbeth is my favorite Shakespeare play. There is a curse assigned to that name. But
that's right. We got to call it the Scottish play.
The Scottish play if you're in a theater, or else you have to like spin three times and find a virgin or something to do something. Anyway, Macbeth is this intense, lean, bloody play. I love it. And there are so many adaptations of it. In fact, all of my picks today are going to be variations on Macbeth. But there is an Indian version called Makbul, which is set in Mumbai. It's kind of a Mumbai noir film. It's set in the world of crime. It's a little slow to start, as one might expect. There are a lot of musical numbers in this, and here is one that kind of kicks it off. Once it dives into the meat of Macbeth, it picks up and it delivers a truly effective murder to set the whole plot in motion. And the film is great because it makes a cultural translation of the play. So we don't have this kind of British royal political maneuvering. Instead, there's a lot of family and melodrama, and Macbeth is kind of driven more by sexual desire or lust as opposed to ambition for power. But once it gets going, the murder itself is really well done, and the sense of how these murders haunt him and this visual theme of blood is played out so well in the film. And of course, you have Irfan Khan with those big sad eyes, and he's great as Magpul, who is manipulated by a sort of Lady Macbeth character. And again, it's more of a sexual temptation that he's taunted by as opposed to a strict play for power. But I really enjoyed this version of Macbeth.
And Beth, the filmmaker, Vishal Bhardwaj, who made Makbul, also did two other Indian adaptations of Shakespeare's plays, Omkara, which is an adaptation of Othello, and Haider, which is an adaptation of Hamlet, and they're all worth seeking out.
I want to do a series of Indian Shakespeare.
Yeah, it's a whole genre of itself, apparently.
Yes.
Well, Beth, I know you love your dark, bloody tragedies. Yazdi, you've got a cheerier Shakespeare option to share with us, and it's another comedy.
It is. It's the movie 10 Things I Hate About You, which came out in 1999. It's streaming on Hulu. Shockingly, it was the first feature from filmmaker Gil Junger, and it starred a string of baby-faced actors, including Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Heath Ledger, and Julia Stiles. I mean, you have to see them. They look like kids. I rewatched this movie just this week, and 25 years later, it still holds up remarkably well. The filmmaker takes a lot of liberty with the original Shakespeare script, but puts it within the context of a high school. And there's just enough touches that you can recognize it's a Shakespeare adaptation. The school is called Padua. The the last name of the male lead is Verona, and it's Stratford for the two other girls. And it's a delightful little movie which holds up remarkably well. And if folks haven't seen it, they really ought to check it out. And here is a clip from the movie, which comes rather late, and it kind of explains the title for the movie.
I hate the way you talk to me and the way you cut your hair. I hate the way you drive my car. I hate it when you stare. I hate your big dumb combat boots and the way you read my mind. I hate you so much it makes me sick. It even makes me rhyme. I hate it. I hate the way you're always right. I hate it when you lie. I hate it when you make me laugh. Even worse, when you make me cry. I hate it when you're not around and the fact that you didn't call. But mostly I hate the way I don't hate you. Not even close. Not even a little bit. Not even at all.
What a touching moment. Well, Beth, you actually have a funny adaptation of Macbeth that you want to highlight. What is this film?
Yes, I do. So this is a marvelous film called Scotland, PA, and it transfers the Scottish play to Scotland, Pennsylvania in the 1970s. And the power play is set in the world of fast food, and there's a white trash slacker who is egged on by his ambitious wife to overthrow the fast food king, Duncan. So with Macbeth, there are the golden arches of Macbeth in this fast food empire that they create. It's a really inventive, creative, fun, but it's also spot on in terms of the themes, this idea of ambition and a marital relationship and the intimacy of that. And there's some funny bits where, you know, the tomorrow and tomorrow speech is a self-help tape that plays out in a car.
Tomorrow is tomorrow. Tomorrow is not today. Today is who I am.
But you have Christopher Walken.
Lieutenant Macduff, I'm here to drop off my cards, which are on the coffee table next to my wife's baba ganoush.
And the witches are now hippy dippy flower children.
It was foul.
The foul was foul.
It was foul.
And the fair was fair.
Foul's fair.
The fair is foul.
My ass hurts.
I don't think that one works.
Shh.
She's having a spell.
Oh God, so dramatic.
And that was from Scotland, PA. Yazdi, I hear you have a zombie Shakespeare film to recommend. Tell us about this, please.
So God help us all. I am recommending a movie about zombies, but I really have a soft spot for Warm Bodies, which is an adaptation of Romeo and Juliet. It came out in 2013, and it's streaming on Amazon Prime. This is one of the movies where I watched it. I didn't even realize it was based on Romeo and Juliet, but it imagines Romeo as a zombie who is falling in love with a living girl.
What am I doing with my life? I'm so pale. I should get out more. I should eat better. My posture is terrible. I should stand up straighter. People would respect me more if I stood up straighter. What's wrong with me? I just want to connect. Why can't I connect with people? Oh, right. It's because I'm dead.
And Nicholas Holt, yes, that Nicholas Holt, and Theresa Palmer are so well cast as the leads in this movie. There is even a serenading scene on the balcony from Romeo and Juliet. How can you not like it?
Oh my God. What are you doing here?
Came to see you.
You can't just do that. It's dangerous.
Regio, shut up. I'm trying to sleep.
Sorry. Jesus, R. Are you crazy? The people here, they're not like me. If they see you, you will get killed. Do you understand that?
I can just imagine what's on screen listening to that. Well, Beth, close us out here. You have one last Macbeth film that you want to share.
Yes. And so this is another foreign adaptation. This is Kurosawa's epic Throne of Blood. And here's a little bit of the music to kind of set the tone for the film. As with Macbeth, this is a cultural translation rather than just a literal one. And a key thing has to do with the end. And spoiler alert, if you're not aware of how Macbeth ends, it ends badly for our title character. But in England, beheading was a sign of disgrace. And so that's how they choose to end Macbeth's life. And in Kurosawa's film, that doesn't translate exactly the same. So there is a scene at the end where he dies in battle with arrows, and that is considered more of a disgrace than a beheading would have been. So what's particularly effective in this film, I think, is Kurosawa's take on the supernatural. So Macbeth is famous for its witches, and Macbeth is haunted by these ghosts, and Kurosawa handles that really well. And I think what this shows is how kind of malleable Shakespeare is and how universal his themes are. The things he talks about in terms of power and love and ambition and greed and all these things are so fundamental to human nature that they can play out anywhere. And I just love how people can tackle this in so many different ways. And each one of those succeeds in different ways and kind of highlights different aspects of the play. And as someone who loves Shakespeare, I just adore seeing this kind of diversity.
Well, I want to thank our Midday Movies critics for their unconventional Shakespeare recommendations. I've been speaking with KPBS cinema junkie Beth Accomando and MovieWalla's Yazdi Pathavala. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew.
And let's go out with a little bit more of Brush Up Your Shakespeare from the musical Kiss Me, Kate.
Brush up your Shakespeare. Start quoting him now. Brush up your Shakespeare and the women you will wow.
If your girl is a Washington Heights dream,
treat the kid to a Midsummer's Night's Dream. If she then wants an all by herself night,
let her rest every 11th or 12th night. If because of your heat she gets huffy,
simply play on and lay on McDuffie. And they'll all kowtow.
Forsooth.
And they'll all kowtow.
Thinks thou.
And they'll all kowtow. We trow. And they'll all kowtow.
Here in Southern California, we know all too well the devastation wildfires can cause. That's why our mission is to stop the next one before it starts. I'm Brian D'Agostino, leader of SDG&E's Wildfire and Climate Science team, and we've built one of the most advanced wildfire prevention programs in the country with a team of world-class meteorologists using artificial intelligence and real-time weather data, all to help keep our communities safe. We're also building a stronger grid and using public safety power shutoff when necessary because, believe me, I've seen firsthand how unpredictable wildfires can be. But here at SDG&E, we face that uncertainty head on to help keep you safe. Learn more at sdge.com/wildfiresafety.